across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostra Dennis. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Time for the show the federal government does not want you to hear. Or our competition on Sunday nights between 5 and 8 o'clock. Oh, but then we have no real competition because we are live. And we are the American adversaries brought to you by the Mercury Free Studios at AM 660, The Answer. Lair Adams with you as we survived the weekend and are ready for a brand new week of the administration explaining why everything you think is bad is really good. Really, really good. Even that silly nonsense with the IRS. Not even a smidgen. You see, that's a baby smidge, or like maybe a smidgen training. Not even a smidgen of scandal there. Speaking of smidge, our host is the head smidge, Christopher Hart.
All right. Thank you so very much, Lair Adams. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, each and every one, for being with us tonight. That's right. We are live on our departing on our three-hour tour. That's right, as we sit here in the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. And remember, folks, for the best in Mercury Free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. Wouldn't hurt just to call him and say hello. But if you need a dentist or you want to know more about Mercury Free Dentistry, he's your man. 407-678-3399. And for the next 3 hours, we are your men. And we are here almost to the full house. We do have Lair Adams. I am Christopher Hart. We also have our executive producer, Nostra Dennis, in-house.
Hey, hey.
And our WTF News Hound, Johnny Guns.
Hello, everybody.
And we have Jeff Sinis, man in the bridge tonight, guiding us through the ether. There he is. Carl Jackson, however, has been out of town this weekend. He'll be back with us next week as well.
Yeah, it's one of these to his show yesterday. He weren't there.
We have secrets here. We can't tell anybody where he's been or what he's doing.
He's just been out of town on a retreat with his wife, and he'll tell us all about it.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, he missed his show yesterday. However, Mickey and Tony did a great job sitting in and holding down the fort. So they're in good hands over there. And don't forget, you can catch the Carl Jackson Show live right here on 660 AM, The Answer, every Saturday morning. Every Saturday morning live at 8 o'clock. And then they replay a show Saturday evenings at 6. And then also, don't forget, Marshall Polston. He does an excellent job as well with the Marshall Polston Show live every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And don't forget us in Drive Time Monday through Friday live at 5. And, well, of course, we are here live tonight. If you want to be a part of the show, 407-774-8255 is the number. And don't forget, you can always hear replays of our show if you happen to miss one at our website. Just go to AmericanAdversariesRadio.com. All right. Don't forget to keep that phone handy tonight because we got a lot of stuff going on as usual on Sunday night. We have some bottles of Roxy Pacifics, the all-natural new kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, good for whatever ails your skin, whether that skin be in your mouth or on your leg or wherever it happens to be, on the top of your head. This stuff is good for whatever ails it. It's just the right chemical makeup to make your skin grow healthily. And by
or your pets.
That's right.
It even sounds healthy. Listen.
That's Nostra Dennis using his very own. And so keep that phone handy. We're going to give some of that away tonight.
It's also not aftershave, Dennis.
Yeah, but it even smells nice.
Okay. People think you're at the beach because, yes.
There you go. We're also going to do our Who Said That contest as well. We have Lair's closing comments. We have Sunny, our California Glow Girl, is going to join us as well. WTF News with Johnny Guns. Nostra Dennis has got the past all lined up for us. And we got some other stuff to talk about, too. what I'm calling legalized thievery. And that's the society that we're developing around ourselves here, where we have basically legalized thievery. And I'll tell you what I mean about that in the second hour. Also, a little lesson we might be well to take from the Tar Heel State, having to do with legalized thievery, if you will. We're also going to talk about buying a car. Did you know that's getting ready to change for you?
Oh, just at the time I'm ready to buy a car, it's going to change. Thank you.
Perfect timing.
Well, at least now you'll know what you're getting ready to walk into, because it's going to change for everybody, thanks to the heavy-handed Justice Department. Yes, that Justice Department. And, yes, it's probably going to cost everyone more, unless you pay cash. All right. We're also going to start off the show today by talking about the Metcalf Terrorist Act. Are you guys familiar with what I'm calling the Metcalf Terrorist Act?
Is that a bill? It sounds like some legislation that's on its way through Congress.
Well, that's a good guess, actually, but no, it is not. It's an act of terror that was committed against this country that nobody seems to know about, because nobody told us about it. Well, now the details are leaking out, and this is... I don't want to say scary stuff, but this is stuff that should be causing people a great deal of concern, that if it is being caused in the government, they're not letting on.
What's scary is that it took 10 months for us to be made aware of it.
That's right. And what we're talking about is, of course, you guys remember the Boston Marathon bombing last year,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know that within hours after the Boston Marathon bombing, there was a terrorist attack in San Jose, California?
Is this the one on the grid?
This is the one on the grid.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what happened. April 16th, 2013. So, let's see. Let me get you the best account here. I think I'll go to Peggy Noonan. There was an armed assault on a power station in California. Just after midnight, some person or persons slipped into an underground vault near Highway 101. They had to take off these big old heavy manhole covers to get down there to it. Near Highway 101, just outside San Jose, California. He or they cut telephone cables, apparently professionally, in a way that would be hard to repair. About a half hour later, surveillance cameras at Pacific Gas and Electric Company's nearby Metcalf substation picked up a streak of light, apparently a signal from a flashlight. Snipers then opened fire. The shooters appeared to have been aiming at the transformer's cooling systems, which were filled with oil. If that was their target, they hit it. The system leaked 52,000 gallons of oil. The transformers overheated and began to crash. Then there was another flash of light, and the shooting, which had gone on for 19 minutes, stopped. 1 minute later, the police arrived to find the place deserted. By the way, they did not have to enter this power station to shoot at this transformer cooling system. They stood outside a chain-link fence and shot in with AK-47s. That's maybe why we didn't hear about it. If they used AR-15s, you know, the weapon of choice of at least in the liberals' mind of the Tea Party or whatever, we might have heard about this. But they used AK-47s, which is the weapon of choice by terrorists all over the world.
So they don't have to bust down any doors or jump any fences or anything. They did this from a distance with a sniper.
All they had to do was lift some manhole covers to get down to where they cut the telephone cables. The rest they did from standing outside the fence. When the police showed up, they didn't find anything, and they left. About 15 minutes later, when the things began to crash, they discovered that what had happened. The assault knocked out 17 giant... I'll read on now, Peggy Noonan, Wall Street Journal. The assault knocked out 17 giant transformers that feed electrical power to Silicon Valley. Pretty good target if you want to do some damage to the United States. Silicon Valley. A minute before the police arrived, the shooters disappeared into the night, in the words of reporter Rebecca Smith, who put the story together through interviews. No suspect in the case has been identified. This is where it gets interesting. John Wellinghoff, who at that time was chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, remember we've talked about these people before, that's FERC, all right? He was chairman of FERC. He told Mrs. Smith, this is the reporter, the attack was, and now I'm quoting him, was the most significant incident of domestic terrorism involving the grid that has ever occurred. Peggy Noonan now goes on to say, if the attack were replicated around the country, it could take down the entire electrical grid. There was no blackout because they were able to boost the power at other stations and compensate for this one particular transformer. But it did take 27 days to get the substation back up and running again. This is the scary part about it, but I'm going to read on before I get to that. Ms. Smith, once again the reporter, quotes an FBI spokesman in San Francisco saying the Bureau doesn't think a terrorist organization launched the attack. Investigators, according to this FBI agent, said, and I quote, are continuing to sort through the evidence. That's after 10 months. PG&E, in a news release, called it the work of vandals. Vandals. If so, they were extremely sophisticated and well-armed. More than 100 shell casings were later found at the site. They were of the kind ejected by AK-47s. They were free of fingerprints. Mr. Wellinghoff later toured the area with professionals from the United States Navy's Dahlgren Surface Warfare Center in Virginia. If you don't know, they're the ones who train the SEALs. He said the military experts told him it looked like a professional job. They noted small piles of rocks that had been left outside the fence that an advanced scout had left to alert the attackers where to stand to get the best shots. Some in the industry see it as not anything to be overly concerned about, but others do. Rich Lorden, an executive at the Electric Power Research Institute, said, and I quote, the depth and breadth of the attack was unprecedented in the United States. The motivation, he said, and I quote again, appears to be preparation for an act of war. Now, you take this on the heels of the Iranians threatening us. What was it, last week, Nostradamus? They threatened us that when we were talking with Abe, you brought
it up. Right, they said they had sleeper cells in our country that were ready to act if anything were to happen.
And think for a minute here, Chris. You know, whatever department is in charge of handling this would have to be absolutely, totally stupid and nuts if they didn't immediately start shielding whatever else we do have around the country of these.
That's Mr. Wellinghoff's point. He's saying that these
installations, it's a wake-up call.
Most of these places are in, I hate to say it, but easy to get to locations. Now, perhaps this isn't why they didn't want to say anything about it, okay? Because we're in essence now telling the terrorists how they can cripple the nation. Mm-hmm. But I'm here to tell you, they already know.
Oh, right. Yeah.
It's the American public who doesn't know.
The TV series 24 was on for years and years and showed you things like energy attacks, water attacks, air attacks, soft targets.
But what we need to be doing is telling the American public so the American public can be vigilant and watch out for these sorts of things. If you see suspicious activity around a power or water station, perhaps you need to take note of it. If you see a vehicle, if you live near one of these power stations and you see a vehicle around it that you do not recognize that is now a power company vehicle, perhaps you should take the license tag number down. Perhaps you should let them see you looking at them.
Well, look how government acts in a situation like this. What, you know, nobody's going to try to alert the people because they might get in trouble themselves, or it may show that their security is lax.
Well, heaven forbid the American citizen try to protect the United States itself. You know, we don't want that. The government wants to do everything for us, even if they're inept. Just look at Obamacare. That is the theme of government for the last 100 years. You have to understand that progressivism is to take away everything away from you. And we're going to be talking about more about this in the second hour when I'm talking about legalized thievery, and it has to do with this CBO report that came out that says Obamacare is an incentive not to work. Well, guess what? All of every bit of liberalism is an incentive not to work. Every bit of it. Every single bit of it. And so, no, they don't want us to do anything for ourselves. That's why they're not going to tell us about this. Now, we still wouldn't know if this guy, Mr. Wellinghoff, hadn't come out and approached media outlets to bring this story out.
So we've got two sides then. There's also a retired PG&E executive. His name is Mark Johnson.
Yeah.
He's the one who proposed that this might be a dress rehearsal for a larger event. So do we believe the two retired executives who now no longer report to anyone, or do we believe the FBI, who reports to the president?
Well, John Wellinghoff, at the time of this attack, was chairman of the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission. He's the head of a federal agency that studies, if you will, that has reports about the energy grid and its vulnerability. Okay? Mm-hmm. So this is a guy who would know what he's talking. He knows what he's talking about.
But he's now no longer hamstrung by the fact that there's a chain in command telling him, whoa, 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 we don't need to be alarming anybody.
He is no longer head of the FERC. That's true. He is a Republican. That's also true. Perhaps that's another
Bush
reason why we haven't heard anything about it. But it is making its way into the media. This was in the Wall Street Journal this weekend. It was also in Investors Business Daily this weekend. They call it our unguarded grid. And their account is very much the same thing. Mark Johnson said, the man you just referred to, these were not amateurs taking pot shots. My personal view is that this was a dress rehearsal. And part of the problem is, of course, the southern border, which these guys can basically come across at will. All right, when we come back, we're going to talk a little bit more about this because this has all the characteristics of Al-Qaeda, all the characteristics. Just think 9/11. How sophisticated did you have to be to pull off 9/11? All right, so we need to talk more about this. We got a lot more to go, so please don't go away.
It was quite well done. It was well engineered and
well planned.
I think they got their objective. We'll be back.
Political mayhem is on the way. You're listening to The American Adversaries on 660 WORL. If you can take it.
All right, welcome back. You are listening to The American Adversaries on our three-hour tour on Sunday night here, where we are every Sunday night, and we're so happy to have you join us. I am Christopher Hart in the studio with Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, Carl Jackson. Be back next weekend. You are listening to The American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. We're talking about this Metcalf terrorist attack. And let me just read you one more quote from this guy who was the chairman of FERC. Let's see, his name was, it's right here, John Wellinghoff. John Wellinghoff said, I don't know what the definition of terror. This is in response to the FBI saying they didn't think it was terrorism and some PG&E official saying it was vandalism. They got a whole new kind of vandalism out in San Jose, if that's what this was. But John Mellinghoff said, and I quote, I don't know what the definition of terrorism is other than when an extremely well-trained group attacks a major piece of infrastructure in an expertly planned attack. This was an act of terrorism, but this, you know, it goes. This is the same administration who still to this day refuses to call what happened at Fort Hood an attack.
Yeah.
Okay. And how long did it take them to finally admit that Benghazi was an act of terrorism?
They don't think the Boston Marathon bombing was terrorism.
And by the way, that happened. This San Jose attack happened just hours after the San. It was that night. Mm-hmm. It was that night that this happened. And who knows if there is a connection.
And who knows how many of the major news media found this article somewhere and conspired together maybe to decide, well, we don't really need to talk about that.
Well, I don't know, but it's interesting that we find it in two of the country's major financial newspapers, the Wall Street Journal and Investors Business Daily.
Well, Chris, that does make it extremely uncanny when you think about it. When you have an act like that that is tying up every bit of the news cycle, this big, huge event, everyone's on somewhat of an alert, not for something like this, but for something what had happened, and then boom, what a great time to rehearse. Which is what I think a lot of people feel this was. I think it was a rehearsal.
It's quite possible that they were trying to actually knock the power out and didn't understand that it would take more than one, but now they know. I mean, anything that they need. This is the point here. You know, to keep the American people stupid doesn't really serve a purpose because the terrorists already found out what they needed to know. And the problem is this can be done around the country simultaneously. And that will bring the grid down. Now, when we say the grid, it's actually three sections of grid. But nonetheless, when the things begin to collapse, you get this cascading effect. And if the power can't be brought up, if the power were down around this country for 30 days,
people would die. Thousands of people would have mayhem.
Commerce
would stop.
We would have martial law. Because, exactly. Think about how many people, how many in you guys in your studio, let's raise our hands. How many of us pay for things with actual cash money? How many people pay for, with plastic?
Every now and then cash, but mostly plastic.
I got my hand up, and it looks like I'm all alone. I'm even looking at Jeff. Jeff, do you
like paying cash?
All right, Jeff's with me. We're going to be the rare few.
As how are you going to get the cash out of the ATM when you're done with it?
I went through Publix, the line at Publix the other night, and the little lady, she kind of goes, oh, cash. and I'm going, whoa, you know. But the bottom line is all of our society revolves around electricity and access to the electrical grid, each and every little bit of it, from the NSA spying program right here to Johnny's laptop computer.
Chris, just wait. Somebody hands that poor old woman one of the new $100 bills.
What is this? Blue $100 bill.
I'm sure she's seen him.
Yeah.
I was just going to say, everybody better start watching that NBC show Revolution, where the power goes out to figure out how you're going to live. This is right. This really comes to fruition.
Well, there's two approaches. One is obviously to be prepared, and we need to do that, too. You need to be prepared for a good 4 to 6 weeks of without having power, whether it be by a storm or whether it be by an event like this, which means having enough food and water, basically, to survive. Everything else with maybe toilet paper, everything else with you can kind of do without.
And not having a septic tank that's powered with electricity,
well,
like you talked about last week in the air.
That helped a lot, too.
But well, gasoline is handy to have on hand.
You will be without running water unless you have a generator with a well or a hand pump well, because the water supply moves, thank you, via electricity. That's what powers the pumping stations. Mm-hmm. We cannot do without it for very long. And this would be a way to cripple this country. That's why we need to know. People need to be aware of this, need to be vigilant. There are 330 million people in this country. That means there's 600 and some odd million pairs or eyes out there, not pairs, but eyes out there who could be watching out for this sort of thing. The government needs to level with us. They don't need to treat us like a bunch of idiots, which is what they do on a regular basis, so I guess it's a matter of habit with them. But we need to break them of the habit, and that's what we try to do around here.
And you have to remember, too, we are live. If you would like to call in, 407-774-8255, the American Adversary Sunday Night Edition. We'll be right back.
Folks, this is pro wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I listen to the American Adversaries, tough guy.
Hey, that's our friend Hacksaw Jim Duggan. I'm Noster Dennis. We are the American Adversaries, and you know, at the break, we were talking amongst ourselves in the studio about the Olympics. You guys heard of the Sochi's choice, right? When the journalists got there, they could choose an apartment with heat or an apartment with running toilet. That's your choice. Sochi's choice.
Pretty soon we'll probably be calling that Obama's choice.
And their doors are really little. The one guy kind of enlarged one.
I didn't see that.
The poor guy got locked in the bathroom. You heard about that? Yeah, one of the big, I don't know if it was a wrestler or what, but it was a big man got locked in the door wouldn't unlock. So he kind of went through the door, and it didn't look like there was much there stopping. The door looked like it was
paper mache. By the way, a little bit later on, I'm going to tell you about some of the turmoil they've put people that used to live in Sochi through to build that palace that they have, that gleaming new city that they have there. But before we get to anything else, I think it's time we should give away some Roxy Pacifics. I mean, this is on the rocks, so let's do it right now, folks. If you've not won a bottle of Roxy Pacifics, give us a call right now at 407-774-8255, and the first two callers will get a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics, the all-natural kelp water, antibacterial, anti-inflammatory, great new product that's good for whatever ails your skin. And it's real easy to use. It's real safe to use. Kids can use it. You can use it on pets. And it's a great thing to have in your medicine cabinet. Everybody needs to have a bottle of this at home. It's really good stuff for whatever, you know, little injuries, big injuries you have in your skin. It's even good for helping healing in the process to reduce scarring. This stuff is just great stuff. And if you'd like to find more about it, go to RoxyPacifics.net. That's R-O-C-Z-E-Y Pacifics with an X.net. And just remember that the price that you see is the total price that you will pay. So the first two callers at 407-774-8255.
To get it to your door.
That's right. That's right. It'll get it to your door. 407-774-8255. If you've not won a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics, now is your chance. Okay. I want to just finish up on this Metcalf thing, this terrorist act, because it clearly was it could have been domestic terrorism or foreign terrorism, but it clearly was some form of act of terrorism.
Could have been terrorists that are greenies that don't like electric power.
And as I said, you're absolutely right. It very well could have been.
The timing sure makes it.
Well, that's what I was getting ready to say. It was hours after the Boston Marathon bombing. Evidently, it had been planned. Now, whether it had been planned in conjunction with the bombing, or they took advantage of that situation, or they just, by coincidence, we do not know. The FBI evidently doesn't seem, or at least they're saying, they don't seem to think it's important enough to try to find those things out. Because in their mind, it wasn't an act of terrorism.
Well, they'll decide what to prosecute and what not to prosecute. They decided this wasn't worth prosecuting.
Well, nobody's been arrested yet. Now, we can't say that, but we can say that no one has been arrested. We do not know the extent of the efforts that they're actually going through, if any, to try and find out who did this and why. But I want to put this out there because I think we need to think about this. We did hear all about the Boston Marathon bombing, and tragic though it was, in my mind, did not it pales in comparison in terms of the significance of this. Because let's just say terrorists did a bunch of Boston Marathon bombings all around the country. That would be terrible, wouldn't it? Would it shut down the country? Would it literally shut down the country? No. Right? You would have basically police efforts ongoing in the locations where the bombings took place.
You'd still have your infrastructure.
You would have everything.
Right.
You would still be able to go to the bank. You'd be able to go to sleep that night. You'd be able to watch on TV the progression of and the interviews and the FBI and all that stuff.
You'd be very, very nervous.
Right. But if this sort of thing, what they did in Metcalf, were carried out around the country, we'd be in one hell of a fix. Mm-hmm. We'd be in bad, bad shape. How many people are prepared for 30 days with having nothing, not being told anything, not knowing anything, nothing? And then, of course, there's going to be those out there who say the government did this and that this is going to be the way Barack Obama holds on to power in 2015. Now, can I sit here and say that that is 100% wrong? No, but it's probably 99.99999% wrong. All right. The American government, in my opinion, is not capable of such criminal activity.
You'd have to consider the president purely evil with the power to direct everyone who reports to him.
And that they would all buy into doing this. All right. And that they're all going to put their own families in jeopardy. Give me a break. No, this will be an act of terrorism by maybe an echo group, a green group, as Nostradamus mentioned. Perhaps it's the Iranians. I mean, they're threatening us right now, left and right. Not only did they say that they have sleeper cells in this country ready to do something, whatever that something is, we don't know, but they also now are sending their what little ocean fleet they have over here to patrol our shores, if you will.
What do they have, the SS Minnow?
It's basically that. They have an old World War II, I believe, class American destroyer that we sold them. They do have a small fleet of submarines. Whether they are capable at this point of going ocean going, I don't know. That most of their naval fleet is small attack vessels that would be used in, say, the Persian Gulf to attack an aircraft carrier. You know, 24 of them all come out the aircraft carrier from different directions. But they don't really have an ocean going fleet. But the point is, they are threatening us. They're going out of their way to threaten us. And here we're supposed to be making nice with these guys, right? We're the ones making a deal with them to get the sanctions. They should be basically kissing our butts, not kicking us in the butt.
Now, they are coming at us with a destroyer that we sold them.
Well, welcome to the world.
Is there a kill switch somewhere in Tampa?
That kill switch is
that's right.
That kill switch is a couple of surface to air. I mean, surface to surface naval missiles.
Okay,
which would sink that thing in a heartbeat.
I can't imagine it presenting much of a problem.
But speaking of that, the Iranians are getting a much more sophisticated missile arsenal of their own, which is becoming more and more of a threat to our naval fleet. All right, let's go now to the phone lines. Lon from Maitland, thank you for calling. He won a bottle of Roxy Pacifics. Okay. All right. So congratulations to Lon. And do we still have another one to give away?
Both names are up there.
All right, I'm sorry. You guys help me out here. I'm looking at it.
David from Orlando is the second winner.
Okay.
So Lon from Maitland, David from Orlando, both win a bottle of Roxy Pacifics.
All right. It's John from Winter Springs who wants to talk. All right. So I got it all sorted out there. Thanks for the help. John from Winter Springs, thanks for being out there tonight. We appreciate you calling.
There is no mystery where these guys came from.
Where?
They knew exactly what they were doing.
Yeah.
Because they're being trained on... I told you about the book, but you never got the author on who wrote the book. There are 28 permanent for years now. The terrorists are training camps, which our beautiful Marxist president will not allow anybody to interfere with them whatsoever, no matter what they do there.
Yeah, you're talking about Muslim installations here in this country that we're allowing them to carry out their quote-unquote religious activities at. John, what's the name of that
it's
book?
It's not
and all?
Only religious
John,
activities.
I know. I say
it's
that
terrorist.
I understand.
It's a terrorist thing.
I know,
read
John.
The book.
I know, John. I'm saying that tongue-in-cheek. If you could, would you please give us the name of the book and the author again, please?
I don't have it at my fingertips, but I'll get it again.
Okay, if you would.
They've been here for years, and they've got they're well organized, and our government, they take women and tie them to a tree and beat the heck out of them, and we cannot go in there under any circumstances, according to our Marxist president.
That's why I say they're practicing.
And they are the ones who did this. And we have 2,000 places throughout the country. This was the first step, and they did it, and they will not find them because they're safe behind the training camps.
Yeah, or across this on the other side of the border. Okay, John, thanks a lot. And when you get that other information, get back to me with that, and we'll try again. We tried to get that guy. We'll try again. Okay, let's go now to Steve from Davenport. Thank you for calling, Steve.
Thank you. You're discussing vulnerabilities to the grid in a nascent Iranian missile threat. They already have the technology now with non-nuclear EMP electromagnetic pulse weapon mounted on a Scud missile. They've done this test in the Caspian Sea 18 times with a Rector 2 on a tramp steamer, a Rex. Takes about 20 minutes. They launch it into the sky, and it blows up over their missile range in Iran, and they declare the test a failure. Well, it's been a success 18 times. The only thing not on the weapon was the actual EMP aimed from Galveston Bay to approximately over Kansas, knocking out the power grid over the majority of at least the eastern seaboard and central part of America.
Yeah, that would be the other way, the more sophisticated way, if you will, to bring down the power grid. What we're focusing on here with this Metcalf thing, though, is a less sophisticated way to do it from the ground.
The AK-47 is pretty ubiquitous, never mind hunting rifles. You could do that with a deer rifle.
Sure.
That matter.
Yep.
And then the simple solution of that is secure brick walls, concrete, reinforced concrete walls around these substations, and then you have to have a higher point of advantage.
Yeah, you're right.
The one thing your previous caller wasn't mentioning on was that the Boston Marathon bombing was a economic terror attack, and the reason is because unnamed sources put billions of dollars of shorts on the stock market that day, and what was otherwise a pretty flat week, and that was a Monday prior, and the bombing occurred at 3:45 in the afternoon on a normally flat Monday. The attack on the power grid was later that evening, but the bombing allowed the stock market to dive momentarily 600 points, and then same unnamed sources bought back into the market the very next day, which quickly rebounded.
Yeah.
So it was a lot more than what the eyes could see with the, you know, terror of mayhem on the streets of Boston. Some unnamed source made a ton of money on his short bet, and I think we can all guess who that person would be. He's since devolved this fund into a family health hedge fund, and therefore no longer has to make any notices to government on his trades.
Yeah.
His name is George Soros.
Yeah.
Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Steve. We appreciate you being out there, and thank you for the information. What he's talking about with the SCUD, the EMP, the electromagnetic pulse weapon, would be another effective way to bring down the power grid. The scarier thing about this one is, though...
It's so easy.
This exactly. Exactly. Johnny.
Well, Steve made a point about putting up a brick wall, and I found a quote from John Wellinghoff that kind of supports Steve's position. He says, his proposed defense, a metal sheet that would block the transformer from view. He says, quote, if you can't see through the fence, you can't figure out where to shoot anymore. And the price tag, he says, a couple of $100. A lot cheaper than the billions the administration has spent in the past 4 years beefing up cybersecurity or critical infrastructure in the United States on government computer networks.
Yeah. One of Wellinghoff's, and once again, he was the chairman of the FERC, Federal Election, Federal Energy Regulatory Commission at the time of this attack. One of his concerns is that a lot of attention, and rightfully so, is being paid to cybersecurity. In other words, computer hacking attempts to bring down the power grid, mm-hmm. which happen daily. Dozens, if not hundreds, a day. People are trying. Somebody's trying to bring down our power grid. Could be some kid in his mom's bedroom in Russia, or it could be sophisticated. They're coming from all over the place. Many of them from China. But what he's saying is, while we're focusing so much on that, we're not focusing on stuff like this.
Mm-hmm.
And this should be a slap in the face. So. We'll stay on top of this as best we can, and when we get more details, we will bring them to you. When we come back, Nostradamus is going to take us back into the past.
One, this is Sunny, the California girl from Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling. We're all champions in the ring, including all the hottest guys on American Adversary. Love ya.
Yes, she loves us. Broadcasting live from the Mercury Free Broadcast Studios on AM 660, The Answer. And now, it's time for the Nostradamus.
Nostradamus.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Predicts.
Predicts what?
Ah.
Yes, I do.
Cool.
I predict the past because I have found that my percentage is better than when I predict the future. Anyone who heard my Super Bowl prediction last week, well, you know exactly what I'm talking about. These are the stories that fell through the cracks this past week in the last 7 days. We only had 5 weekday hours and 3 Sunday hours to talk about what's going on in the world, and that's not nearly enough. So Chris told me to stick all that stuff in a little folder and bring it back on Sunday night to talk about it.
Is so that where I told you to stick it?
Yeah, I have a whole folder in my hands right here. This is a story we talked about a little, but there's more to it. President Obama is helping offer to help Senate Democrats get reelected by staying as far away as possible. The president broached the sensitive topic during a meeting with the Senate Democratic Conference on Wednesday. One senator confided to the Washington Post, without saying who he was, the president said he knew he's not popular in some of the states, so he would not be offended if he were not invited to visit them this year. Several vulnerable lawmakers we talked about this past week, including in Louisiana and North Carolina, have already been out of touch when the president visits them in their home states.
Other scheduling conflicts.
Yeah, well, they had things they had to do. They had a high school basketball game they had to throw out the first
get their nails
pitch
done.
For or something.
Yeah.
Other Democratic senators are facing strong challengers and running against unpopular elements of Obamacare. Senator Claire McCaskill said, well, voters make up their minds based on the candidates in front of them. They really don't make it up based on who else in their party shows up to campaign on their behalf, which is what you say when you have a president who is toxic to your reelection.
Oh, and nobody goes for issues, right?
No. McCaskill said when she first ran for Senate in Missouri, she asked Ted Kennedy and Chuck Schumer to stay away. I guess they complied because she got elected. Summing up the White House position, Senator Tim Kaine, former head of the Democratic National Committee and now a senator from Virginia, said, they, meaning presidents and higher elected officials, want to be helpful. So whatever folks think will be helpful is what they want to do, and they don't want to do things folks think will not be helpful.
Well, George Bush went through this a little bit in 2008. Of course, in 2008, he was heading out the door, so he wouldn't have been much help anyway. But the party ran away from him in 2008, and look at what happened to them.
Yeah. That's right.
I'll take it.
Politics was at the forefront of Republican senators' minds at their annual retreat on Wednesday. Did you hear they went retreating this past week?
Yeah.
They went sticking their heads together, trying to figure out what they were going to do and what their strategy is going to be in this upcoming election cycle.
Yeah, I'd like to know this one.
After hearing from a congressional handicapper and conservative observers at the Library of Congress, there is growing optimism among GOP lawmakers that their odds are on the rise. Jim Inhofe, senator from Oklahoma, says, "I feel very good about it. However, this time 2 years ago, I felt good about it, too. Anything can come along and totally change things." But they heard Wednesday from Stuart Rothenberg. He is editor of the Rothenberg Political Report and a respected handicap. He's like the Wayne Allen Root of political handicapping, I guess. And Rothenberg says they are slightly favored to win the Senate. So getting that kind of word kind of boosted their morale a little bit. Other political analysts, however, are more skeptical about Senate Republican chances of winning the majority. Padam, padam, padam. Jennifer Duffy is senior editor at the Cook Political Report. She says Republicans still have to worry about Tea Party candidates who could win in the primaries but lose in the general election. And speaking of winning in the primaries and losing in the general election, how's the GOP doing on a national level at raising funds? Well, guess what? Insurgent conservatives seeking to pull the Republican Party to the right raised more money last year than the groups controlled by the party establishment. And this goes to groups like the Tea Party, groups like Americans for Prosperity, groups like, let's see, let's find a couple of more of these
Heritage
groups
Heritage
here.
Foundation.
Everybody the IRS was after, right?
That's right. The Congressional Leadership Fund, the Young Guns Action Fund, and Crossroads are the three mainstream Republican PACs. They raised a combined $7.7 million last year. That doesn't sound like a lot on a nationwide basis. Freedom Works, the Club for Growth Action Fund, the Senate Conservatives Fund, and the Tea Party Patriots, those are the young guns. Those are the upstarts. Those are the guys who want to get incumbent Republicans out. They raised a total of $20 million last year.
Oh,
a lot of that money is going to go directly towards Tea Party candidates or very conservative candidates who seek to unseat moderate incumbents in the next cycle. And when you have money, you can make a splash.
Right.
That's just a little bit of Nostradamus predicting the past.
All right. This came out Friday, was reported in the Orlando Sentinel. Senator Mark Pryor, one of those Democrats that you were talking about, he's running for re-election in Arkansas, and he's in the fight of his life. Guess what? He has decided to come out against the hike of the minimum wage. That's right. He says, and I quote, "I know 10-10 still isn't a whole lot of money, but I think it's too much too fast." So Mark Pryor's feeling the heat of Obama, not only the heat of Obama, but now he's running away from Obama's policies. It's not enough to get away from Obama, the man. Got to get away from Obama, the policies. But lest you Republicans out there think that you're going to stand up to this president, perhaps you should pay attention to this story.
He's got a pen and a telephone.
That's right. And he's got a Justice Department and other cronies who will come after you. This has to do with Kathy McMorris Rogers. Do you remember Kathy McMorris Rogers?
Well, that name's familiar.
She's the one who gave the official Republican response to President Obama's State of the Union address. Very effective one, I thought. Evidently some others out there thought she was effective, too, because the House Ethics Committee has decided it is going to extend a preliminary investigation into allegations against Miss Kathy McMorris Rogers. She says that she's innocent, and this action does not necessarily indicate a violation. Johnny, what were the charges she's charged with again?
Sorry, I was researching another story here.
That's all right.
Allegations by a former staffer that she improperly mixed campaign and official funds to help win a 2012 House leadership race.
To win a House leadership race.
Right. And that's just a matter of nomination. That's nothing you run for and are elected by.
Wait a minute. Run that by me again, the charge.
That she improperly mixed campaign and official funds to help win a 2012 House House leadership race.
Campaign and official funds, right. In other words, allocated funds.
To win a House leadership race. Mm-hmm. This isn't a public election.
No.
This had to do with business in the House.
Correct.
All right, but they're going after her. The Ethics Committee evidently thinks that she did do something improper, and this is based on evidently a someone who made a claim to that effect, a former staffer.
I can give you more after the break.
All right, we got to take a hard break, so we will be right back.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Lair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar, Christopher Hart. They teamed with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Lair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American adversaries.
Hubba, hubba, yeah, we love making people feel good. That's why we are the American Adversaries. And this is not drive time. You have to wait till tomorrow for that. This is our Sunday night edition for 3 hours. Lair Adams with you with Christopher Hart, Nostradamus in the studio, too. And Johnny Guns, but speaking of Johnny Guns, folks, yes. The last segment we were talking about Kathy McMorris Rogers, who gave the Republican response to President Obama's State of the Union address. Now, she's under investigation, and our own Johnny Guns has information on kind of what she's in trouble for. What's it? What are you looking at her for there?
Thanks to our good friends at Politico, I have this information. The complainant to the OCE was made by a former disgruntled employee by the name of Todd Weiner. He was terminated. I know, ironic, right? Who was terminated from the office with cause after McMorris Rogers became conference chair. She decided not to choose him for the communications director at the conference, and he was let go. And more information here. The Ethics Committee announced on Thursday, this past Thursday, that it will continue to review the allegations until March 23rd. At that point, Ethics will have to appoint either a special investigative subcommittee to conduct a full-scale probe or drop the case and publicly release the OCE's report.
Well, now, this is amazing. Now, you mean like if politician Weiner's wife divorced him and married this guy, she would be Weiner-Weiner?
No, Weiner.
Or Weiner-Weiner.
Weiner-Weiner.
She would be Weiner-Weiner. Okay.
By the way, the Ethics Committee...
I don't know why that's important.
The Ethics Committee, if I'm not mistaken, has an equal number of members from each party. And so these things, either party, even if they're not in power, they can have an investigation like this continue, whether there's anything substantial to it or not. This is obviously a way the Democrats, once again, it's what I call the Sarah Palin effect. If you are an up-and-comer in the Republican Party, they are going to rip you a new one. They're going to do everything they can to bring you down.
If they think you pose a threat to them.
If they think you pose a threat in any remote way, and especially a strong woman like this, which she demonstrated in that State of the Union response, that she is a good representative for the Republican Party. So they would love nothing more than to drag this out, try to bring her down this way, and evidently there's not much to these charges, but we'll keep an eye on this as well because we got to look out for our own.
And if you read her bio and you read about her family and her history, she's got a lot in common with Sarah Palin. She's strikingly resemblant of her in a lot of aspects of her life.
Yeah, I believe even has a special needs child.
Right. And the liberals are in a little bit of trouble right now because, you know, they're offering, they keep claiming the conservatives have a war on women, but really what the conservatives offer, the choice they offer, is a job. Now, when you're offering a job as opposed to, oh, whoopee, free birth control, most women are still going to go for the job.
We'll see.
We hope.
We're going to talk about that in particular here in this hour. Once again, folks, we are live. We are the American Adversaries coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studio. Just remember, for the best in mercury free dentistry, call Dr. James E. Hardy at 407-678-3399. And if you'd like to be a part of our show, you can call us at 407-774-8255. Before I get to that, though, I want to just make a remark, and I don't want to go too deep into this right now. This past week, and you talked about the conference where the Republicans got together and had their little meeting, and they came out of that conference, and John Boehner said immigration is
off the table.
Off the table. And basically what he got was an earful from the members who said, "What are you, an idiot? First of all, we don't need this trouble right now. Let's let Obamacare be the political issue of the summer." Second of all, why would you think that this administration would even follow a law, even if the man signed it himself? Look what he's doing to his own law, Obamacare, that's named after him. He changes it daily. There's an idea being floated out of the White House now that the exemption that he gave to folks who were being thrown off their policy so that they could get the quote-unquote better Obamacare policy, that the one-year extension is now going to be a 3 more years extension.
Yeah, it was going to 16 and that election. Well, let's just throw it down to the next election,
too. It was going to go through 14. Now it's going to go
and the 16 election.
So if Obamacare doesn't kill the private insurance industry, well, these exceptions to the exceptions.
Well, anyway, the point I wanted to make was old Chucky Schumer, and I saw him on the show this morning, and you just heard it on the news if you're listening between during the break. He said, to get around the fact that the Republicans can't trust Obama, just go ahead and pass the law, but just have it go into effect after he leaves office. Like, that's going to stop that guy from anything? I mean, but the interesting thing is that Schumer is basically saying, okay, you can't trust him. Neither can
you're
we.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, we're stuck with him, too.
Yeah. But anyway, I don't want to go too deep into that because I want to talk a little bit more about what Larry started us into, and we was talking about the job thing, because this CBO report that came out this week, to me, is devastating against liberalism in general. Now, it's focused on Obamacare. But I'm trying to make the bigger point that this is more about the failure, the shortcomings of liberalism than anything else. It's just being played out more graphically in front of our eyes with Obamacare. And the part of the report I want to talk about is the part of the report where it said basically there is an incentive in Obamacare, as the Wall Street Journal says, to give you the choice to stay poor in order to earn. Earn is the improper word, in order to keep getting the insurance benefit. And this is the mark of liberalism in general. This is why we have record numbers of people on food stamps. This is why we can't get people out of welfare. Because liberalism doesn't want you out of welfare. Liberalism doesn't want you off of food stamps. Liberalism wants you dependent on the government so that you will continue to vote for liberals who will continue to provide those things as though they were giving you a bottle, a baby bottle with milk in it. And I think that that's an appropriate depiction of this.
I don't think it is, because eventually babies outgrow the bottle.
Well, I don't know. In this case, what liberalism is trying to do is keep you in that baby bottle mode, okay, and replace the baby bottle your mama gives you with the baby bottle the government's going to give you for the rest of your life. And the incentive not to work, the Democrats are trying to tell us, is a good thing. They're saying that this is a choice, the White House chief economist Jason Furman put it, this is a choice on part of the workers not to work as hard because they want to spend more time doing essentially nothing. Because if they're not working, they don't have money. Okay? They may have their health care, but what else are they going to have? They're not going to have much of anything at all. They'll have their food stamps. They'll have their rent support, I guess. But a place to stay, 3 squares a day, health care. You know what it's beginning to sound like to me?
Prison.
Prison!
Mm-hmm.
Right! Exactly.
Didn't our forefathers look at it that way?
That pretty much did.
And what's the latest Obamacare story? You know how they're pumping up the enrollment and making the cost balloon?
They're enrolling prisoners in Obamacare. Not making this stuff up.
Hey,
so the only time we're going to lose people from Obamacare is when they get paroled.
Hey, convicts have cardiovascular problems too, you know. But the point I want to make about this is, this is unsustainable. It's like Margaret Thatcher said, socialism works great until you run out of everybody else's money to spend. And this is my point about legalized thievery. This is, and I think Carl has referred to this on our show and his show as well before, and that is that what we are missing in this nation right now pretty much is a healthy dose of humility and being ashamed to be on food stamps and not have a job and not being out there working hard to try and get a job, being ashamed to take the choice to stay home and sit on your butt and not do anything so that you can get a health care card. This should not be the choice that you should want to make, because in the end, someone else has to pay for it. Now, if you were rich enough that you just wanted to sit at home and do nothing but pay for your own health care coverage and all that, I got no problem in the world with that. But if your choice is to sit at home so that I can pay for your health care coverage, I got a big problem with that, because you are stealing from me. It is nothing less than thievery. You are taking from my pocket so that I can't do for myself and my own family. And that is wrong. It is morally wrong, and anyone who willingly does that should be made to feel ashamed for it.
Why is it our responsibility to take care of someone else's children? They have the children.
Well, why is it our responsibility to take care of them?
Yep.
We're not talking about their children anymore. We're talking about them. This is what Obamacare, this is what the CBO is telling us, is that we are making papooses out of our population, that the rest of us are going to have to carry around on our backs. It is no more complicated than that, and these morons in the White House want to make us think that that is good. Well, they are the ones who are going to be carrying the papooses. It's going to be people like you and me, and Larry, and Dennis, and Johnny, and Jeff. And it is not wrong. It is morally wrong. I mean, it's not right. It is morally wrong. And it is twice morally wrong that the government would willingly promote that behavior. But that is what liberalism is all about. Rick, I'll get to you in just a minute. Jeff, give me 4 more minutes, please. I had the opportunity yesterday to take my neighbors to the airport. They live part of the year down here, part of the year in Pittsburgh. And we were talking about Obamacare, and they were saying, what are these poor people going to do? And I said, they're screwed. If you got to go on Obamacare, you're screwed. Right? You are screwed. And one of the people I was taking, she says, oh, I hate that Obama. He's ruining this country. And I said, and I say this to you folks out there, don't hate Barack Obama. Barack Obama is simply a symptom of the real problem. The real problem is liberalism and progressivism. And the reason I said the first show that we ever did here, 171 shows ago, I guess, on Sunday night when we first started, the reason why I said I would kiss Barack Obama on the lips is because he is such a perfect example of liberalism and its shortcomings and failures. And that is what we are seeing play out in front of our very eyes. Don't hate Barack Obama.
Yeah, he's just doing what he's told to do.
And he wants you to hate him so that you don't see the real problem is his policies, is liberalism. This is why they constantly say anybody who criticizes him is racist, because they don't want to focus on the real policy, because they understand what's going on. They know. All right, let's go to Rick. From Orlando, who's calling. Rick, thank you for calling out there.
Hi, guys.
How
I
you
was
doing?
Just wondering if you were going to get to the latest on Charlie Crist and judges for sale.
You thought, well, there's a couple of scandals going on around him, actually. I don't know that we're going to get to it tonight, but, yeah, we're putting together some stuff on Charlie Crist.
Has he been on Jon Stewart yet?
Yes, he was.
Okay.
With his book.
Yes.
He's making his rounds with his book. He's got some scandals out there. Rick, we're looking into those, but we just don't have time to get into those tonight.
Okay, I was just curious.
Okay, All right.
Great show as always.
Thanks. All right. Thank you, sir. Thank you. Yeah, by the way, I found one of those Charlie Crist scandals in the Orlando section, B section, last page, opposite the obituaries.
Right where it belongs.
Well, I don't know. If it's an obituary for his career, I'll take it. But there's not a better place really to kind of hide it than if you're in the newspaper.
How big a scandal was it?
We'll get into it later. Like I say, I don't really want to go there tonight because I want to stay on where we're at. And that is that Republicans need to seize on this. Now, they are kind of seizing on this, but they need to seize on the moral, the immoral element of this. And they need to ram it home and hard. Johnny, did you want to say? Okay. They need to ram it, and they need to ram it home hard. And by the way, this goes for unemployment, and there's the fight going on right now over unemployment extending the unemployment benefits more. And once again, the unemployment benefits weren't meant to keep you perpetually unemployed. That's not what unemployment benefits means, although for a lot of people that is what it has come to mean.
And in a lot of countries, they are indefinite.
Exactly. And that's way, of course, once again, the liberals and the progressives would love it to be indefinite. Yeah, you're unemployed, you can't find a job, come and take care of you, don't worry. Yeah, don't worry. And they're creating the same sort of incentive. Did you know that white males are one of now the largest unemployed groups? White males in the working ages between 25 and 54 are some of the ones who are having the hardest time finding a job.
In sheer numbers or in percent?
In numbers, I believe. Okay.
Black males have unemployment rate.
Yeah, but this has to do with, also they are underemployed. They are tremendously underemployed and unemployed, and they make up a lot of the people who have left the workforce. Women, especially women with a college education, are the ones who find it easiest to get a job, the easiest to get a job. And so what we are seeing is the traditional breadwinner of the family being replaced. But not by a woman who can go out there and become the real breadwinner of the family, but by the woman and government. We're on the way to doing to the white family what we have done to the black family. And I hate to say it, but it ain't good. And I'm sure Carl Jackson...
He said that on numerous occasions.
Mm-hmm. Well, and a lot of liberals seem to think we should have a matriarchal society, that maybe women should run the world. Look at those evil men that cause all the wars. Everything bad is their fault. So, yeah, let's turn it over to them. I don't think it's going to work here.
There's a lot of truth to that, Lair.
Hello, Florida. This is Mark Merrill. You may know me in wrestling as the star Johnny B. Bad. I listen to the American Adversaries, and you should, too. Don't let me come and get you, because I'll kick your booty with my two-left booty.
Here comes Johnny B. Bad.
All right. Welcome back to the show, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries on our three-hour Sunday night tour coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios on AM 660, The Answer. You can give us a call at 407-774-8255 if you'd like to be a part of the show. And don't forget, in our next segment, we're going to do our Who Said That contest. Matt, as is the genius of the United States, the fact that we have different states and they can do different things, we can oftentimes find ways out of the morass by looking to the states. And one way out of this morass of people moving more and more towards welfare is to look at what happened in North Carolina. North Carolina last year, they stopped their extended jobless benefits in July. They were highly criticized by liberals for doing this, but in the 6 months since they dropped their extended jobless benefits, their state's unemployment rate fell to 6.9% in December from 8.9% in July. Furthermore, their job employment base, in other words, actual jobs created, increased by 1.3%. That's compared to 0.5% is the national average over that same time period. So in other words, when people had to go out and get jobs, guess what they did?
they went out and found jobs. They might not be the perfect job. They might not be the job at the salary they want or in the industry they want, but they found jobs that brought in money.
That's right. Now, this is not a surprise to us.
It's happened all over the world when nations do it.
Yeah, but do you think liberals are aware of this?
Aware of or willing to admit to it?
Both.
I think they're aware of it. I don't think they're willing to talk about it.
Well, they have admitted it. Let me just put it this way. According to Alan Krueger, that's President Obama's former chief economist, he co-authored a 2008 study on the amount of time that unemployed people spent looking for work and found that, and I quote now, this is from his report, job search is inversely related to the generosity of unemployment benefits. That means the longer you get the unemployment benefits, the less likely you are to go out and get a job. Now, this is not true for everybody. A lot of people, when they get laid off, they are uncomfortable. They just can't stand it till they get another job. And that is the way we should all be. No one should be comfortable with being unemployed if they are employable and can go out and get gainful employment. And don't tell me you don't have job training. Everybody can go out and get a job and then work from that job into job training or other things. You cannot start off on the top levels. It just doesn't happen. You just and even for older people. And this is part of the problem is that we have this mentality that a job is not worth having for a lot of people. And that's what we're teaching, once again, with liberalism in general, with Obamacare in particular. What the CBO report said was a lot of people are going to find that having a job is not worth their while. Or getting a better job is not worth their while. And what's the state that we often refer to where the ladies work?
It's a study from Pennsylvania.
Right.
The numbers are 29,000 and 62,000.
A
single woman with two kids earning $29,000 has no incentive to get more money because she'll lose benefits until she hits $62,000.
Well, it does incentivize people on long-term unemployment to find jobs that are cash under the counter
work. Big black market for under the table jobs. Sure,
that's right.
Hiding from the government.
That's right. It's interesting that the liberals want us all dependent on government, but then turn around and find all these different ways to scam the government. I can't tell you how many times I have heard liberals try to get me to do something on their taxes, which I would basically call a scam.
Yep.
Because they don't want to pay taxes either, guess what? But they sure have a good old time spending our tax money.
Someone else. That's right. It's always someone else's money.
That's right. All right. But it's you're with us now, folks. We're halfway through our three-hour tour, but don't go away. We still have to go.
No.
To the American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz, if you can take it.
That's right. You're listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660 The Answer, broadcasting live from the Mercury Free Broadcast Studios. And now you know why we don't have a Who Sung That Contest. It is time for the Who Said That Contest, and here is Christopher Hart.
You know, I I couldn't tell if that was Whitney Houston or Pee Wee Herman. One of those.
I love when Johnny sings solo. Solo, you can't
hear him. You should have been on the stage. There's one leaving out of town now.
Where's the hook? Coming up.
There you go. All right, welcome back to the show, folks. It is time for our Who Said That contest. You know how to play this. We read the quote. You simply call us up and tell us who said it. You'll win a $20 gift card to Cafe Positano, the finest Italian restaurant in all Central Florida. And by the way, you know what Friday is, right? Come on. Now, you're married.
Hey, Valentine's Day.
Oh,
that's Single Awareness Day.
Great place to take your date on Valentine's Day is, of course, Cafe Positano. And you can make a reservation. If you'd like to do so, give them a call right now at 407-774-8080. If you have a party or a banquet coming up, you know, graduation's coming up not too long down the line. Cafe Positano is a great place to do it.
My mother's 96th birthday is coming up. We already have at least 15 people
All right.
Scheduled for that lunch.
All right. And you can, they have banquet facilities. They have fine dining, casual dining, carry out, full bar. Cafe Positano, great place to spend Valentine's Day. 407-774-8080.
Full bar, so they really do have carry out.
There you go. 407-774-8080 if you'd like to make a reservation. We'll be over there Wednesday night if you want to join us. But if you'd like to be if you think you know who said that, who said what I'm getting ready to say.
He didn't say it yet.
What are you trying to say, Chris?
Stick with us.
Our phone number is 407-774-8255. If you know who said this right here, and I quote, "Opportunities are usually disguised as hard work, so most people don't recognize them." I thought this was apropos, given the CBO report.
You know what? You know what movie was on last night that I saw for the first time? Have you seen it? The Pursuit of Happiness?
No.
Oh, my goodness. It hurt to watch that movie, to see this guy just chasing after anything positive in his life. Finally, at the end, he gets it. But, oh, my goodness. It's lots of opportunities come before him. He takes advantage of some. He doesn't take advantage of most of them. Most of them he fritters away.
All right. Well,
what a good movie.
There you go. If you know who said this, however, give us a call. Opportunities are usually disguised as hard work, so most people don't recognize them. Let me read it again. Opportunities are usually disguised as hard work, so most people don't recognize them. If you know who said that, give us a call at 407-774-8255. By the way, I got this from Rick from Orlando during the break, and this is a quote by Ben Franklin. I'm going to go ahead and tell it to you. I could have used this tonight in substitute of the one I had, but because they're both along the same idea, I think. But I like the one that I had, and we haven't used this person before. And there's a hint for you, folks. Mm. But Ben Franklin said, "The best thing we can do for the poor is to make them uncomfortable in their condition." And that is the exact opposite.
It sounds mean on its face, but if you think about it, it makes perfect sense.
And the part of the problem with the liberals is they don't trust in the human themselves. You know, they don't think that human beings will find a way to do it on their own. And 99 out of 100 human beings will. 60 or 70 out of 100 human beings will regardless.
I think it's worse than that, Chris. I think they actually want to supplant that.
Oh, definitely. That's definitely what they're trying to do. If they had their way, everybody would be choosing to stay poor. Mm-hmm. Because that's the way you attain economic equality.
And that's how they're structuring it right now.
And that's how the liberalism works. And that is why, in a way, we have been blessed with Obamacare. Because it is so clearly showing us what is in store for us the more we trek down this path toward big government liberalism. We have to turn back. Now, sometimes turning back that path from big government may mean doing things that perhaps don't fit with our sensibilities. For instance, prohibition. Now, I'm not going to get into prohibition tonight, but I am going to be addressing this as we move into the future, because I've seen about enough of the Reefer Madness out there. And if you've ever seen the movie Reefer Madness, you know what I'm talking about. If you haven't seen the movie, just listen to most of the stuff you're hearing from conservatives, and you'll get a good taste of it. And part of the problem with the debate on drugs, and take, for instance, heroin with this guy, Hoffman, who just died. I don't think that Hoffman died because of illegal heroin. I think he died because heroin is illegal. In other words, if heroin were legal, he might very well be alive. It's a huge speculation. But the problem with illegal drugs is it provides for a huge government apparatus to intrude into our lives. And if we don't want government intruding into our lives because of our health care, well, we already started down that path when we bought into prohibition. We all conservatives sit around here when a guy like Michael Bloomberg comes along and says, "I'm going to do away with the Big Gulp cup." We all laugh at him and say, "Oh, what do you want, a nanny state?" But then the same conservatives will often turn around and say, and accept the same logic, the same argument when it comes to drugs. Sugar's a drug. Did you know what the most addictive drug is known to human beings?
I'm going to guess caffeine.
Caffeine. That's what I would say. Caffeine. And out of these three, which is the most addictive? Nicotine, alcohol, or marijuana?
Well, I'd have to say nicotine.
In that order, nicotine, 32% of the people who use nicotine become addicted to it. Alcohol, 15% of the people who use alcohol become addicted to it. 7% of the people who use marijuana become addicted to it. Now, I said, I don't really want to go down that road right now because it's a whole different argument. But the bottom line is, if we don't want big government, we have to turn away big government in all its shapes and all its forms. Otherwise, it's like a weed. It'll come back in your yard. If you don't get that crabgrass out, all of it, it'll come back and take over your yard all over again. It'll just start the process all over again. If we don't want big government, we got to take the bad with the good. If you do want big government, you are going to get stuck with the bad and very little good. And that is the point of this my argument against Obamacare and this whole thing of people, it just giving people the incentive to do the wrong thing. That's what big government does. It actually gives you the incentive to do the wrong thing, whether it be use drugs or whether it be don't go to work because you can then have yourself a health care card and feel good because you can go down and get some lousy health care, which is what it's going to be. By the way, folks, we still don't have anybody even guessing. If you would like to at least make a guess, if nobody gets it right, the first person to make a guess will be declared the winner. Opportunities are usually disguised as hard work, so most people don't recognize them. If you'd like to take a shot at it, give us a call at 407-774-8255. Speaking of big government and big government intrusion, you're going to have a whole new experience when you go to buy a car.
All right. Lay it out.
All right. Here's the reasoning why. Big government's looking out for you again. All right. It's taking care of you.
Stop helping, big government.
All right. Have you guys ever heard of a phrase called disparate impact?
No, but I can imagine what it means.
All right. Well, first they went after banks. I don't know if you, and we didn't actually, I wanted to cover this story and we didn't, but several months ago, Bank of America agreed to pay the federal government something like $6 billion for allegedly racist loan practices. And it was based on something called disparate impact. Disparate impact is a research tool that the government has come up with to claim that there is racism occurring. And originally, it was in the banking industry. Now they are claiming that racism is, quote unquote, according to Roger Cordray, he's President Obama's new credit cop. He's with the CFPB, that's the new credit credit agency to look out for your well-being. He claims that racism is fairly widespread in the auto industry. How do they know this? Through disparate impact. Once again, now what is disparate impact? Disparate impact is the phenomena that people with bad credit have to pay more.
Yeah, because they have bad credit.
Well, it just so happens that most people who have bad credit are minorities. And therefore, the disparate impact is they are being treated in a racist fashion because they have bad credit and have to pay a higher interest rate. The Justice Department is saying that that is a form of racism. So in order to balance it out and see if this doesn't sound like what we had with the housing bubble.
Yeah, I was going to say exactly the same.
That car companies are basically being told by their legal schmeagles that if you do not want to get sued by the federal government, you better be a little bit more lenient in your lending practices.
So they're going to give loans to people who may not be able to afford the car they want.
And those who can't afford cars, if you get it financed, plan on paying everyone will pay a higher interest rate to cover those loans that are still going
to
go bad.
To make up for the loans that are going to go default.
That the car manufacturers, the dealers will have to make in order not to get sued by Eric Holder.
Yeah, we woke up in the USSR. Well, maybe not. American Adversaries
close
will be back.
It.
When I'm in Central Florida, I like to snuggle with three sexy humps. Christopher Hart, Nesta Dennis, and Lair Adams. Ooh, the American Adversaries. These guys stimulate my brain.
Poor old Johnny.
I don't stimulate her brain, I guess.
Maybe you. Well, I'll
read. Well, he's just thinking of that picture of her snuggling with the three of us, Chris.
All right, let's get okay. Let's get back to the show. You are listening to the American Adversaries. We're in the middle of our three-hour tour tonight. We've got some callers on the line. I want to get to them. A couple of them think that they know who said, "Opportunities are usually disguised as hard work, so most people don't recognize them." Anyway, you are listening to the American Adversaries. Christopher Hart, Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, Jeff Sinis is working the gizmos, and we'll be here until 8 o'clock, at which time we'll hand it off to Mark Walters, and he'll take you live till 11 o'clock. But let's go to the phones now. Let's go to Don from Winter Park, who thinks he knows who said opportunities are usually disguised as hard work, so most people don't recognize them. Thank you for calling, Don. Who said it?
Great show, guys.
Thank you.
I thought it was Henry Ford.
Henry Ford. No, it wasn't Henry Ford.
No, it was Gerald Ford.
No, I'm just kidding. It wasn't Gerald Ford either.
I don't think it'd be Gerald Ford.
No. Hey, listen, that was a good guess, though. Hey, Don, have you ever gotten a bottle of Roxy Pacifics from us?
No, I have not.
Well, I tell you what, it's a consolation prize. Why don't you stay on the line and give Jeff your information, and we'll get you a free bottle of Roxy Pacifics on the rocks.
Oh, great. Thank you.
All just right. Like that. Boy, just aren't like you that. Generous.
Yeah, well, it's on the rocks. Oh. It's easy to be generous, Ed, when it's on you. All right, let's go now to Rick from Orlando, who thinks he knows who said opportunities are usually disguised as hard work, so most people don't recognize them. Thank you for calling tonight, Rick. Who said that?
I really, really enjoy your show, guys.
Thank you. Thank you so very much.
Well, my mother-in-law says that it was Ann Landers that said that.
Well, your mother-in-law is going to Cafe Positano with a $20 gift card. It was Ann Landers.
No. That was easy.
Let's just say you better take her. But she's absolutely right. It was Ann Landers who said that. And, you know, she used to give such great advice. And this really is. It's opportunities are out there for everybody. You just got to go out and work for it. That's Dave Ramsey has a saying that, you know, you work hard for 10 years and all of a sudden you're an overnight success. You know, people only see the end result. They don't see a lot of times the hard work that it takes to get there.
Yeah.
And
the sweat and the toil and, yeah.
But that's really where the fun is at. As my professor, Steve Levinson, used
to. No greater satisfaction.
Yeah, the fun is in the journey, not in getting to the destination. So always set your destination a little bit farther than you'll ever attain. But, hey, Rick, thank you very much, and stay on the line, and you are the winner tonight, so congratulations.
All right, thank you.
And congratulations to your mother-in-law as well.
Yeah, she's a real winner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay, don't forget, folks, we'll be doing that again next week. And don't forget, we'll be giving away some more bottles of Roxy Pacifics on Ed Roxy during our drive time show this week. So listen in, and perhaps if you haven't gotten one yet, you can get one then. All right, let's go now to Rick from Orlando, who wants to talk about the government regulating us. Hey, Rick.
Yeah, I thought you were going to me when you said Rick in Orlando last time.
Me too. Yeah, we had two Ricks from Orlando.
We got Rick rolled there for a minute.
Yeah, there you go. Okay, anyway.
Yeah, right.
All right, your thoughts anyway.
My thought is, you know, if people want to get a vision of what a truly free society is, they're going to have to accept cigarette vending machines back in stores and restaurants.
That particular method of sale I don't think is so necessary as the fact that if people want to smoke cigarettes, they should at least be allowed to buy them somewhere.
But I mean, that would be the image. That would be,
yes,
something iconic where you can look and say, okay, we're back to being a free society where people can choose to buy cigarettes.
That would be the case. Of course, you'd have a problem getting around the age limit and that sort of thing. But, hey, those old cigarette machines would be a symbol of regaining our freedom, or at least a big step in that direction. You know, freedom is freedom. You got to take freedom. When you say freedom, you can't say, okay, I want freedom except for this, that,
and the other thing.
Right. You can't.
You're not free to make bad decisions. You're not free.
Amen. Amen. And it was Madison who said in the Federalist Papers, it's not the purpose of government to protect us from ourselves. It's the purpose of government to protect us from others.
And that Benjamin Franklin quote I sent you was because when he was in Europe as our ambassador, he saw the largesse and basically socialism going on in Europe. and how it was destroying the
civilization over there. Yeah, absolutely right.
It was turning. They were comfortable being unemployed. They were comfortable being poor, and they had miserable lives.
That's what we're lining up for here, Dennis.
And that was 200 years ago. I mean, we see they're only just a couple of years ahead of us now in terms of slipping into socialism.
And there is nothing new under the sun.
Yeah.
Amen to that.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Rick. Appreciate you being out there.
Bye.
Okay. Okay, once again, folks, you can join in the conversation as well, 407-774-8255. This is the insidiously, some might say evil component of liberalism, and that is that it incentivizes you to be less of a human being. It really does. Karl Marx was a paradox of a man. You know, on the one hand, I think that it might be a bit of a stretch to say that, let me just back up and say this. He's the one who said communism, you'd know communism, and Larry and I talked about this past week. You would know communism because you would be able to work in the morning and go fishing in the afternoon. And basically what he was saying was that everybody would contribute equally. Well, we have found that that doesn't work. And this doesn't even promote that. What Obamacare is promoting is for people not to work at all or very little so that others will have to compensate for them. That wasn't the idea behind communism. Communism is supposed to be some real equitable form of life where nobody has to work any harder than anybody else, right? Isn't that the utopian idea of liberalism? We don't want anybody to have to work too hard or suffer too much. Well, in order to bring that about, everybody has to put in a little bit, but that is not what socialism and progressivism teach. They teach you to put in as little as possible so that you can take from someone else. This is the insidious part of it. This is why it will always be a failure. Dennis, I see you nodding your head.
It's not going to sustain itself because Margaret Thatcher said it, once you run out of other people's money, it will fall on its own weight.
Not only that, but what the element that I'm trying to focus on here is the immorality of it. The fact that it incentivizes people to be less of a human being. You understand?
It steals people's dignity.
It steals their dignity. It robs them of their spirit. All the things that we cherish about being human being, it is asking us not to be. It is asking us to be ignorant and lazy. And to be happy in that. That is not the epitome of human behavior. Back to Karl Marx. He also said that the ultimate expression of human activity was work. That it was through work that civilization advances. The work being the guy that devises a new cell phone. And then the people who go out and build it. That is how we express ourselves in a mass way, and that is how we advance. Well, we cannot do that by incentivizing people to sit it out.
Well, of course, you're talking about an end to self-reliance.
Absolutely. And not only an end to self-reliance, though, an end to what it really truly means to be a human being. Because we are becoming nothing more than some sort of biological entity that is more or less being fed through an IV. That is what we are asking people to be reduced to. Nothing more than somebody who gets something free because it is taken from someone else. That is immoral and it is destructive to humanity in and of itself. And this is a grand opportunity for Republicans to stand up and make this argument. Because it is devastating to liberals. All right. We got Aubrey and Kissimmee, and let's bring him on before we go to the break. Aubrey, thank you for calling tonight.
Yeah, good evening, Chris. It's Aubrey here.
Aubrey. It's our good friend,
you
Aubrey.
You know me, right?
Yeah, thanks for calling. Go ahead and make your point.
I never have any opinions, do I?
No, not you.
You know, listening to you guys on the show this evening while I'm driving, and you're talking about liberalism and socialism, and Obamacare and so on. And, you know, we all think about it in terms of what it's costing us financially. But in reality, they're stealing part of our lives.
That's what I'm trying to say. You're absolutely right.
Because, you know, we think of it as money. But money is just what we give up part of our life for, to earn. They're actually stealing not just our livelihood, but our very lives itself.
You're absolutely right, because it is that avenue of making wealth that we are able to express ourselves in so many different ways.
The freedom to do it.
Yeah. You're so right, Aubrey. We appreciate you, man. We got to take a break, but we'll look forward to seeing you this week.
Yeah, looking forward. Take care.
Be careful driving home.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yes, sir. God bless. Bye-bye.
That's right. And the rest of you, if you're out there driving around, be careful also. If you're at home, we'll just be careful walking around. American Adversaries will be right back in just a couple minutes.
When America fell into darkness, a call rang out across the land. Blair Adams, entertainer and entrepreneur, answered the call. He joined forces with friend, businessman, and scholar Christopher Hart. They team with lifelong radio pro Nostradamus. Together, they are guardians of liberty and the American way.
Ladies and gentlemen, introducing the champions of political professional wrestling, Blair Adams, Nostradamus, Johnny Guns, and Christopher Hart, the American Adversaries.
Okay. Simmer down, studio. Nostradamus here with the American Adversaries. We are, and I did the math, 70% of the way through our three-hour tour so far. And so far, it's like we just set sail. We've already done so much. Nostradamus has predicted the past already. We gave out some bottles of Roxy Pacific's water. We did the Who Said That contest. And you know what's next. It's the first segment of the 7 p.m. hour. That means that it is time for our California Glow Girl, Tricia Summerlin, Sunny. Welcome back to the American Adversaries. How's it going out there?
Hey, Sunny, how you doing tonight?
Okay. Oh, no! Sunny dropped out! Well, we can't be doing that.
Jeff will get her back on the line. Before we get back to Sunny, though, once again, you know, Friday is Valentine's Day, mm-hmm. right? And if you haven't gotten that gift and you're thinking about getting something special this year, go to Lake Mary Jewelers. Go up there and say hey to Pasquale for us. Lake Mary Jewelers, they have fine jewelry of every kind. They'll buy wholesale, direct, and great prices. And if you want to sell gold there, they'll buy your gold too as well at Lake Mary Jewelers. They're at the corner of Lake Emma Road and Lake Mary Boulevard. It's just when you get off I-4 heading east there, it's just to your right. You can't miss it, right behind the Marathon gas station in that shopping mall there. Lake Mary Jewelers, for that fine gift for that fine person, go to Lake Mary Jewelers. You can call them at 407-878-6230. That's Lake Mary Jewelers at 407-878-6230. Do we have her back?
Oh, we have Warren in line, too. We could take him while we wait for Sunny.
All right, well, let's take Warren, and then we'll go back to Sunny, our California glow girl. Hey, Warren, how you doing tonight?
Warren, are you with us?
Do we have Warren?
Okay, we don't have Warren on line, too, either.
Where are we going here? All right, we're having a little trouble with the phone lines tonight, but we'll get that squared away. As soon as we do, we're going to get to Sunny, our California glow girl, and we'll find out what's going on out there in California. We got several things I want to talk about with her. 407-774-8255 is our number. But I was just saying, Lake Mary Jeweler, for your special gift for that Valentine's Day gift, 407-878-6230. By the way, have you guys, we talked a little bit about the Olympics earlier on. Have you been watching much of the Olympics?
I just every now and then I'll hear in the news, we won another medal, Finland's ahead, or Norway or one of them. Yeah. I haven't gotten into the Olympics in several years.
Yeah, I just watched, really, for the first time today, I sat down and watched a couple of events. But they need more curling. More curling, NBC, if you're listening.
Okay. All right, let's go ahead and go to the phone lines now. Let's take Warren, and then we're going to get Sonny back on the line. Warren, thank you for calling tonight.
Yeah, hi, guys.
How you doing?
Oh, any day above the grass is a good day.
Amen.
Yeah. You're here.
You know, there's a statue in New York Harbor. It's called, as far as I know, it's called the Statue of Liberty and not the Statue of Equality.
You're right, yeah.
Now, the Jewish people, they tried equality. They're an agrarian society, you know, back in biblical times.
Right.
Okay. They had their wool and their cattle and their grapes and their olives and so forth. And they worked their customs into a very successful culture. A lot of it we still embrace. And they, every seventh year, they've made the land lay fallow. That is, they plowed and planted for 6 years, and then every seventh year they
leave it alone.
Left it alone.
Right.
But then they got up to the 50th year, and something very interesting happened. What they discovered is that all the wheeling and dealing that went on, that there wasn't equality. All of a sudden, some people owned all the land and others didn't. So on the 50th year, which was called the Jubilee year, they would redistribute the land
right
out there, equality.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Within another 49 years,
it had all turned over again.
The same thing happened again.
Yeah.
Because what happens is there's another biblical story about was it Jacob and Esau, where Esau gave up his birthright. Was it a mess of pottage just for a bowl of soup?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Right.
And this is what happens. We have people out there that just want instant gratification. They're not willing to wait. They're not willing to go to school and stay in school. And they just all of a sudden they want everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's the problem. It's really what the problem we've got. And until we can get back to leaders that have the stones to say, this is the way it is.
Yeah.
It is not equal.
Yeah.
There's equal opportunity.
Right.
That's it.
Not equal outcomes.
Yes, you can't have equality because people are equal. People just are not the same. They're just not. We have different abilities, different motivations, a whole host of differences. But you're absolutely right, Warren. We appreciate you calling. The Chinese have a similar saying. They say that wealth runs in a cycle of three generations. The first generation starts the wealth, starts the business, whatever, and begins the process of building wealth. The second generation comes along and builds upon that wealth and makes the ultimate wealth of the project. And the third generation comes along and spends the wealth. And that is evidently where we are at. Okay, but now we have Sunny, our California Glow Girl, back on the line with us. So let's go now to Sunny, who's calling from Los Angeles. Hey, Sonny, how are you tonight?
I'm good. Boy, that was a great intro. Thank you. But I think between Cali and Florida on my surfboard, I hit a wave or something.
Yeah, it was the NSA cutting in on us there, but just got them in line right now. The first thing I want to talk about is the other night Jay Leno had his last show. Is there like mourning going on in Los Angeles that the Tonight Show, Jay Leno, is shut down now?
Yes, it was rather sad. It was a tearjerker, all right, when he was leaving. Yeah, we were all remembering Jay Leno, who's 63 years old, by the way.
Yeah.
And and he was in studio for 22 years. His whole career. That's quite some time.
And
that's
he,
half of my age.
I hear
and my
you.
Daughter's age. I'm like, oh boy. So I think he deserves a break. He plans on playing comedy clubs and indulging his passion for his cars, as we know,
yeah,
and doing TV shows that come his way.
And he's been doing that all along.
True.
He's been doing stand up in between nights that he's doing The Tonight Show.
Yeah, okay. Well, maybe so. I must have missed that, but I don't know how he finds time. I know he's out tootling around in his vehicles. He loves his cars and forevermore. And by the way, guys, at the end of that show, you will see him leaving in a blue Bentley. That's my daughter's car. He buys most of his vehicles through my wonderful daughter and son-in-law at Classic Motors.
Wow.
So I had to throw that in because at the end of that, I was pleasantly surprised to see him leave the gates in the car, and he was waving, and it was, it was something. He had Billy Crystal return from the show in 1992 as his guest, and Garth Brooks.
Oh, just about everybody.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Even Oprah.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
Yes.
Now,
Now,
he did a show from California there, and were you telling me that they're closing the studio where he did the show?
Yes, Studio 11. Yes, it's very heartbreaking, guys. I think they're taking all the Burbank and just closing it, from what I know, quite a few studios. And since then, as well as, Access Hollywood, a few others are now at Universal City, Universal Studios lot.
Well, his show, what was his show, is now actually going to be broadcast from New York.
All right, 30 Rock,
Jimmy Fallon.
I think that's part of what NBC wanted all along. They didn't like the idea that Jay Leno demanded that he demanded he do his show in California there. And just like Johnny Carson did. And they want it done back in New York because that's where all their apparatus is. But Lair, did your brother ever work at Burbank Studios there?
I'm sure he did.
Yeah, because Lair's brother was a lead grip, right?
Gaffer,
yeah, for commercials and TV and movies out there. And I guess the jobs are going with the studio. They're going away?
Yeah, well, let's hope they find them other jobs, in Universal. There's, obviously transitions. I do know that, I guess, with Jimmy Fallon, who's taking over on February 17th at NBC, Seth Meyers is taking his place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Seth Meyers is a good candidate. He's funny, too, and I really like him. He's very talented. But it will be a huge, hole. Not seeing Jay Leno on, that's for sure, on TV. I just, I like Jimmy Fallon, but, Jay Leno's history, and he's a big part of our history here and on our TV shows. I used to record it, in fact, and I have the last show recorded just to keep it in my repertoire because that is history, his last show. It's like Johnny Carson having his last show and keeping that forever is amazing. Though my kids would laugh at me and go, Mom, who's Johnny Carson, But, oh, well. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. But it's also a larger trend in that they're not shooting nearly as many big movies in Hollywood these days. Is the city feeling the pinch of the movie business sort of migrating out of town?
Yes and no. I mean, it was pretty bad a year or two ago. I think they're still holding. They're trying to still bring more of it back. But, yeah, you're right. A lot of them are going elsewhere to Canada and whatnot. They're still working as we see the best products and movies. I do have a lot of friends that are gaffers and electrical and key grips and all that kind of stuff, and they seem to still keep on working. However, they don't like to travel as much, but they're traveling. So as far as Jay Leno's quote, which I think is one of the best things he said as he was leaving, was that it's been great, but it's time to make room for the new generation. And I think this is what's happening in every sense of showbiz, out with the old and in with the new. And he said it best.
Yeah.
Well, that
isn't always the best, even if that's the way it's done.
That's right. This is an aging population now. It's not like it was when we were raised and the younger generation was the bulk of the population. We have the money, too.
And then you look at the younger generation and you see Justin Bieber and you go, oh, my Lord.
Exactly.
How are
they don't have jobs.
Here's something for you. How about Miss Obama lecturing Bieber? Did you know that? Now she's trying to play mom at a people. I'm like, wait a minute. Really? That'll be interesting.
Yeah,
Miss Obama.
Johnny was telling us that, she was giving parenting advice to Justin's parents.
Yeah.
And I guess
don't smoke pot with your kid on the airplane.
Do it before you get to the airport.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my word.
Hey, I want to talk Olympics with you for just a couple of minutes because something's happening special Tuesday night at the Olympics. Do you know what I'm talking about, Sonny?
Would that be the women's?
The women, yeah.
The ski slope style.
Yeah.
Women's, yeah.
First time ski jumping event at the Olympics, the women will be participating. And a little Japanese girl about 4'11" tall might be the girl to put your money on. Because she evidently is so small, she flies through the air with greatest of ease.
Like a little flying squirrel, right?
Underdog, we're going to call it that. I'm sure
there you go.
With grace. There you go.
I've always liked the Winter Olympics better than the Summer Olympics, personally. It's just something about the bobsledding, the ski jumping, the downhill racing. When I was a little kid, I used to admire Jean-Claude Kille. And it really is fun. And I'm excited to see the women jump. I mean, the more ski jumping I see, the better. And,
me too. As long as I'm watching it, guys, and I'm not on the slope.
Yeah. And of course, I always love the figure skating as well. That's one of the best parts about the Winter Olympics.
You're not even mentioning curling?
No.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I just
but
can't
figure
wait.
Figure skating. Did you see Ashley Wagner's face, guys? I don't know about
that. When she got the bad score.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. She didn't know what to do, kiss or cry.
Yeah.
And then Hannah Kearney. I mean, she's just, yay for her. Awesome, mm-hmm. awesome.
Yeah, she
got
was
the,
with
the bronze medal.
Yeah, with the, what do they call that, the downhill.
Was it the mogul?
The mogul, yeah. Which,
yeah, we call it the mogul.
Yeah.
And, you know, what do you think about the anxiety of the threat of the terror strikes or the controversy of the gay rights and all that?
Well,
you know, I mean,
it
seems like it's faring okay, right?
Yeah, so far the Olympics are faring okay. I'd be surprised, to be honest with you, if there is a terrorist attack because the Russians are just in mass. There's like 70,000 troops there. If there is a terrorist attack, it'll probably be somewhere else in the country. As far as the gay thing goes, I'm finding it very interesting that NBC, who has been a big proponent of gay rights, has been effusive with their praise of Vladimir Putin and Putin's Russia. And, of course, Vladimir Putin and Putin's Russia outlawed homosexuality, I believe. And so it's interesting to see that NBC, now maybe they're worried that their correspondents might be subject to some unhospitable Russian treatment if they don't toe the line. But it's interesting to see NBC, a major network, so pro-gay, be also so pro-Putin and so pro-Russia. But
yeah.
But that's just me. Anyway, Sonny, what else is happening out there? Anything big news coming out of California?
Well, yeah, I wanted to bring up a little bit about what we call was a sophisticated attack. Capitol Hill lawmakers said that Sunday a planned sniper attack on the remote California power station was of grave concern, repeating similar responses about the strike and suggesting changes in the ways that the U.S. protects its power grid. A Democrat shifts comments the following revelations last week about the 2013 sniper attack, which is on the electrical substation in San Jose, California, that lasted 52 minutes and knocked out 17 transformers. April 16, 2013 attack on the Pacific Gas and Electric Metcalf transmission station. So, hey, started with the Snipers Act, the telephone cables, then they've fired, I guess, at least 100 shots into the facility.
Yeah.
Scary.
It is scary. And we talked a little bit about this in the first hour. Had you, as a Californian, had you heard anything about that? I mean, it didn't make the national news. Did it make any local news that you can remember?
It probably did at the time, guys. Of course, we didn't feel that pain. We had electric, so I must say, hey.
But you don't remember seeing any newscasts about
it? Oh, yeah. Yeah, it was on the news, I'm sure, at the time that it occurred. Of course, it put out, you know, anytime we have electrical surge of that size, it hits the news.
All right. Well, it did not make the national media. That's why I was wondering if it did at least make the local media. But you hadn't heard anything about it in the year, almost a year since.
No, it hasn't been brought to my attention, you know.
Yeah.
Not that I watch every every little bit of news. I need to go surf the waves once in a while.
Yeah, I hear you.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, but you would think it if the government would have made a big deal out of a sniper attack at a power station, you probably would have heard something about it.
Yeah, well, it seems as though the Senate Majority Leader, Harry Reid, now is one of the top Democrats, and he sent a letter Friday, this Friday, to the federal and industry officials.
All right. All right,
get this happening to make it
more secure,
stronger federal standards. Yeah, needed to protect the U.S. power grid.
Yeah. All right. Great work, Sonny. We appreciate you keeping us up to date on the California goings on.
Well, thank you, guys.
All right.
And talk to you soon again.
Yep.
Be safe and have a blessed day out there in wonderful sunny Florida.
We'll do it.
You have a great week, girl.
Thank you so much. Bye, you guys.
Night. Folks, we'll be right back.
Wrestling at its finest, the American Adversaries on 660 WORL and on 1520 The Biz.
All right, welcome back to the show. That's right, folks. You are listening to the American Adversaries on AM 660 The Answer, coming to you live from the Mercury Free Broadcasting Studios. Lair Adams, Nostra Dennis, Johnny Guns, Jeff Sinis, and Christopher Hart are with you tonight. Our man Carl Jackson's out of town this weekend, but he will be back next week. And don't forget, you can catch his show live every Saturday morning at 8 o'clock. And don't forget Marshall Polston's show live every Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. Okay, we have a real short segment here, but I just want to touch base on this. We'll be talking about this more as the week comes up. But did you know there's a new book coming out this week? Its title is HRC, which stands for Hillary Rotten Clinton.
Oh, goodness.
Can't wait.
Oh, brother.
It's her autobiography, memoir, whatever it is you want to call it, is due out next summer, 2015, just prior, of course, to the 2016 election. But this book was written by a couple of other authors. As I said, it's coming out Tuesday. We're going to see if we can get one or both of these authors on the air, give them the offer to be an author on the air.
Well, now, Chris, you're teasing us here. Are these guys pro Hillary or
a little of both? They basically describe the Clinton, let's just say the Clinton apparatus that you don't want to cross.
The machine.
How Bill Clinton will come after you. How Hillary Clinton does have an enemies list. Claire McCaskill is right at the top of it. She's a Democrat.
I wonder if we're on the list.
Ted Kennedy was right at the top of it, because he's the one who came out, the big name who came out and endorsed Barack Obama first.
Yes.
And so people who have her staffers remember this stuff, according to these people, like it was yesterday.
No forgive and forget there.
No forgive and forget. And in their opinion, she's already running for president. It's just a matter of, will she at some point call it off? But that she's already, the decision's already made. She's already in the game. All the apparatus is being put in place. Bill Clinton's doing the footwork. She's doing the footwork. All of the people who supported her before are back in droves. And but as I said, the book is going to hit the shelves Tuesday. I can't wait to see it. We'll be talking a lot more about it in the coming days, I'm sure.
Folks, this is not a musical show. So when you hear the music, it means we're taking off. American Adversaries will be back in just a few minutes. Please do not go away. Don't forget phone number 407-774-8255.
Hey, folks, this is professional wrestler and WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and I know wrestling. And for the best in political professional wrestling, listen to the American Adversaries, tough guy.
That's right, it is Sunday night. And, folks, we always know it's Sunday night when Johnny Guns is in the studio, and that means it is time now for, that's right, if we need music. Where's the music? We need music for
some WTF
News, starring Dun-dun-dun-dun. Speed of lightning, roar of thunder.
Are you doing this because I wasn't in studio last week?
Underdog.
Oh, goodness.
I loved that cartoon, Underdog.
Oh, that was a great cartoon.
It was.
Although, can I say one thing before I start WTF News?
You can say anything you like,
I have to say thank you to the American Adversaries for being so good to me. As you know, last Sunday I wasn't in studio. You know, I was broadcasting. You guys let me do the big game broadcast so yep. I can do WTF News. And, of course,
you did it from New Jersey.
I was in a New Jersey. I was in a New Jersey watching the Super Bowl, so... I can't wait to see where next year's is, so where I'll be able to broadcast live from. So I just wanted to say thank you, and I appreciate that.
We appreciate you, my friend.
Back in studio with WTF News, here we go. I should have asked Sonny about this story, see if she knows about it. A San Francisco company is offering to serve up revenge to clients' enemies. Their chief executive officer of nefariousjobs.com said the company offers numerous services designed to discredit and discomfort people specified by clients seeking revenge against ex-lovers, co-workers, bosses, and others who might have wronged them.
I wonder if we can add ex-secretaries of state to that.
The CEO said if a person has been scamming people, if they've been abusing people, if they have an extensive criminal record, we will post it. We will start an offshore website, and we'll detail all their nefarious deeds, and we'll make sure everyone in their circle of friends knows it. The company employs a team of private investigators and overseas hackers to carry out the schemes, which range from under $2,000 to up to $10,000, and they say the schemes never turn physical. He says, quote, "We will do our very, very best to make the life of the person who has wronged you completely miserable." The CEO says that the most common package purchased by clients is called the Boss Breaker. And what is the Boss Breaker? It's where they send a bunch of faxes to everyone in the office with the person, let's say, giving them the number one finger salute there, smiling and saying, "I quit," and a couple of other stuff I can't say on the radio. At that point, it doesn't matter whether or not it's true. The company's mad, and the CEO is embarrassed and ticked off. They also admit that coming soon is the ultimate revenge affordable package where they will enroll the offender in Obamacare.
Yeah. Now, that would border on harassment.
That really is.
That's almost inexcusable right there.
That's a crime.
Cruel and unusual punishment.
There you go.
Speaking of crimes, a St. Louis man came up with a unique way to react after not getting hired for a job. After getting turned down by a number of companies, 58-year-old Javons Brown started packaging cat poo and mailing it to the employees of the businesses that didn't hire him. Huh. U.S. Postal Inspection Service spokesman Dan Taylor told the St. Louis Post-Dispatch that investigators tracked down 20 packages containing cat poo to Brown. In court, In court, Brown said, "I'm sorry, this will never happen again." And Assistant U.S. Attorney's Office said that by law, Brown could have received up to 6 months in prison. Brown did receive 2 years of probation on Friday after pleading guilty to a misdemeanor charge of mailing injurious articles and testifying against his co-conspirator, his cat, who was guilty of littering. All right. And now I have to say.
So he just sent a litter?
He just.
Got in trouble for sending a litter?
Sent some. I love how they call it injurious articles through the mail.
I bet it was.
So if your wife calls you and says that you have to clean out the cat box, she's telling you to clean up some injurious articles.
Toxic waste.
How about that? All right, I have to thank Lair for this story for tipping me off to this about North Carolinians participating in what was called the Moral March. It's protesting voter ID laws, and get this, they must present a valid photo ID to participate in the NAACP-hosted protest against voter ID laws. I don't even need a joke for this story.
They have to show a photo ID yes. in order to protest
voter IDs.
Was this on the Onion?
No, this is real. I have confirmed the stories, it is real. The central claim among the protesters is that voter ID laws disenfranchise certain segments of the voting population, particularly minority voters and poor voters.
Right.
According to official NAACP flyers passed out at the rally, protesters must carry the precise kind of ID that they would be expected to present at the voting booth. Chairman of the House Elections Committee and North Carolina Republican State Representative David Lewis criticized the protesters for their hypocrisy. I love this quote, so I'm going to read the whole entire thing. I find it extremely hypocritical that when 70% of North Carolinians across political spectrum support the idea that one present photo identification when going to the polls. The NAACP has filed suit in court to block this common sense idea. However, the NAACP requires their protesters to maintain valid photo identification on their person throughout the march. The idea that Chairman William Barber and his followers find it more important to carry their photo ID with them when marching than when electing the President of the United States is reprehensible.
You couldn't have fakery in the march, could you?
Oh, no.
There might be some conservative
you have
polls.
Fake marchers.
It's okay to cheat at the polls, but you can't cheat to be in a march.
What would be the ultimate culmination of this story is if the NAACP were to sue the NAACP for requiring a photo ID, because obviously they're discriminating, right?
Well, they are, because black people don't have the wherewithal to know where to go get a voter ID.
But they can get
it. It makes no sense.
And so the NAACP shouldn't be requiring that. This is a travesty.
It, you know what this story is? Story is a bunch of feline interest articles.
It is.
That's what it is.
So let's just do what the cat does and cover it up. Scrape some on top of it so we don't have to look at it.
Thinking of sending your kids away to college?
No. Just sending them away and buried?
Done that. Been there.
If you are thinking of sending your kids away to college, don't let them go to Cannabis U.
There's a Cannabis U.
Is that where you graduated?
Isn't that our college?
Cannabis U was at parking lot C in Water Park High School.
I know the school's logo already. You don't need to show me.
C lot was notorious. Let's just put it that way. It was like a Beaver's airplane. You just walk through the... Anyway... you can call it Cannabis U, and it's getting ready to launch inside the former Garcia Y Vega. Is that how you say that?
Garcia E Vega.
Garcia E Vega Cigar Factory in West Tampa. This is an idea of a fellow by the name of, who is it here?
Chris can't focus tonight.
I wonder why.
I would need some munchies. Jeremy Buford is the brainchild of this, and basically he wants to have a pot museum. This is assuming that Florida legalizes medical marijuana, and as a part of the pot museum, he also wants to encourage research and that sort of thing with medical marijuana. By the way, did you know... You know this farm bill that President Obama just signed into law the other day, that the federal government has legalized marijuana in that farm bill? Well,
nationwide?
A cousin of marijuana, hemp. Hemp is marijuana, but it is marijuana that has very low THC level in it, so you can't get high. I have a buddy who went to, he drove through the Midwest one summer a long time ago when we were 20 or 21, and evidently out there, hemp grows wild in some places, and you can drive up on a big old hemp plant that just looks like the best stuff you ever saw. It will not get you high. But hemp,
how do you know, Chris?
This was back, in the 80s. But anyway, hemp has been also illegal because it is a form of marijuana.
Yeah.
But hemp makes great rope. Okay, you can make paper out of it. As a matter of fact, the Constitution is written on hemp paper because it makes such very good paper.
Good quality.
George Washington grew hemp on his estate, as well as some other founding fathers, because you could make clothes with it, you can make paper with it, you can make rope with it. Parachute cord in World War II was made out of hemp, but it became illegal as part of the we're going to bring morality to the United States. But There are the states now, according to the Farm Bill, the states that have legalized some form of use of marijuana would be able to use hemp and be able to research hemp. You know, a lot of people say, oh, marijuana's never been, nobody can show me a study where marijuana does this or that. Well, that's true. And you want to know why? Because marijuana has been illegal, no studies have been able to be conducted on marijuana. So perhaps now they will be in certain states. But Kentucky and California and other states will now be able to produce and market hemp. And by the way, you can buy hemp clothes. It was just illegal to grow hemp in the United States.
Well, I guess who's the actor? Woody Harrelson.
Woody Harrelson.
He sells hemp clothing.
That's right.
Probably doing quite well at it. The American Adversaries will be back, folks. Don't light up. We'll be right back.
Championship Wrestling, and I'm here to tell you, listen to the American Adversaries. They may be some bad men, but they're great guys.
Yes, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Listening to The American Adversaries on AM 660, The Answer, broadcasting live from the Mercury Free Broadcast Studios with a man who deserves the gold medal in broadcasting, Lair Adams, and his closing comments.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate that. Friends, this week every news outlet chronicled one of the world's most impactive invasions in a half century. It was brilliantly planned by a previously beaten regime in a war in revenge for their loss and a desire for eventual control. The hapless nation thought their differences had been put aside and never saw the treachery coming. They allowed a tiny but elite force to overcome the mass media in the country so open to new ideas and freedoms. Their weapons were mighty. They used them so insidiously to target the young, knowing full well they would eventually be the leaders, completing the plan for revenge and control. What invasion, you ask, am I talking about? What elite force could do what no Navy SEAL team could do? What country got their revenge so sweetly and never fired a single shot from pistol or artillery? Was it China or parts of the old Soviet Union I'm talking about? How about the tumultuous and erratic countries in the Middle East? Was there another invasion in South America? No. This time the vengeful oppressor was none other than the land of our ancestors herself, Great Britain. And the focus of that nation's attack was none other than our own United States. Yes, 50 years ago, the Union Jack decided to repay the Stars and Stripes for their success in the Revolutionary War by sending four unlikely volunteers to America and her shining example of society, the Ed Sullivan Show. Hey, you're pretty slow if you hadn't guessed I was talking about the Fab Four by now. Can it truly be a half century since these stealth fighters bullied their way into a population waiting with open arms? Many of you were around on the night of that fateful broadcast. I was quite young when the Beatles appeared on the variety show, known for its juggling acts and Topo Gigio. It was a Sunday night, and my entire family was doing what most families did on Sunday night, watching Ed Sullivan. When the group that would change so much of Western culture came on the grainy, snowy, black-and-white set, the first comment came from my mom. Oh, my gosh, just look at their hair! Keep in mind, every male I knew back then had short hair, usually greased back. But these bouncy no-grease mop tops, as they were initially called, caused an unbelievable stir. Despite the fact my brothers, myself, and even our parents kind of liked the catchy little tune they played. Some little ditty called, I Want to Hold Your Hand. It was an innocent enough song, and their appearance, other than the screaming fans in the audience, really didn't seem like such a big deal. But it was. The event that night began the biggest split in the generations in generations. Can't blame all change on that night, but it was around then the old way just wasn't good enough anymore. Suddenly, the wisdom of experience was considered fuddy-duddy. A new way of doing almost everything began to be the sought-after goal. Yes, these incredibly talented four men with their artistry helped change even the way we think today. And it started with a set of songs on an old TV show a mere 50 years ago. Makes you wonder what the next 50 years may bring, doesn't it? Have a great week, folks.
Very good, Larry. Very good. Very good. Very good shoe. Gonna have a very good shoe.
Really big shoe.
Really big shoe.
And really, he was, you know, as far as a host or something, I mean, he really wasn't very talented. He had kind of a weird way of talking.
He did.
He didn't do a monologue or anything else. He just, I got another act for you here. Oh, and here's little Topo Gigio.
Yeah, I remember
the world's
Topo.
Worst little hand puppet, Topo Gigio.
The Sissy Mouse.
Yes.
Coming up for you, ladies and gentlemen.
Those French acting. And Eddie.
Yeah, but it was 50 years ago.
And Jose Jimenez.
Yes.
Remember Jose?
Jose Jimenez. That's right. Mm.
Yep. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
My name.
All right. Once again, great job there, Larry
Thanks,
Adams.
Sir. Mm-hmm.
All right. Don't forget, folks, if you'd like to hear that again, you can go to our archive, our website, AmericanAdversariesRadio.com, and we'll put it up on the archive tomorrow evening, and you can catch it there. Don't forget to tell your friends, and don't forget to join us for American Adversaries Drive Time this week coming up. Don't forget Carl Jackson. He does a great show every Saturday morning live at 8 o'clock. Hey, Mickey,
if he shows up.
Mickey Alvarez. And,
he just missed us last week.
He's got a great team over there. They're doing a great job. And don't forget Marshall Polston live every Saturday afternoon at 2. And don't forget at 8 o'clock, as soon as we go off the air, Mark Walters is going to come on, and he'll take you live till 11. Before we get out of here, though, I want to talk to you just one last little bit of news. This was in the Investor's Business Daily this weekend. It's called Foggy Bottom Amateur Hour, and it's talking about President Obama's foreign policy, in particular his quote-unquote smart diplomacy. And part of his smart diplomacy was, of course, having smart people in the right places. And one of those right places was the new ambassador to the Soviet Union, who just announced that he's resigning. And did I say Soviet Union?
Yeah, you did.
Russia, the new Soviet Union. But let me just tell you about some of the other ambassadors and the reaction that they get to the from the country that they're the ambassador to. George Soonis, you spell that with a T, George Soonis, who raised almost $1 million for Obama in 2012, became ambassador to Norway, a key NATO ally. And despite describing the Nordic nation as having a president and referring to the Progress Party as a fringe element, he didn't make such a good impression, because they don't have a president, they have a prime minister. And the Progress Party, if they are a fringe element, well, they're running the government. And then there's Noah Mamet, Obama's just named envoy to Argentina.
Yeah, I heard this
one. A major Latin American nation on the verge of fiscal collapse, has never even visited the country. But hey, he did bundle more than $500,000 for Obama.
He wasn't even sure of the capital.
It doesn't have to be. All he has to do is come up with $500,000 for the campaign.
Does he know Spanish?
No.
No, he doesn't. And then there's Carolyn Kennedy, who doesn't speak Japanese, mm-hmm. has no expertise in Japan, and whose sole qualification appears to be her last name, Kennedy. She's now the she's the ambassador to Japan. Tokyo officials took it as a grave insult.
Yeah.
Colleen Bradley Bell, another big-time Obama campaign bundler and TV soap opera producer, the bold and the beautiful, is now our ambassador to Hungary.
Okay, yes.
During her hearings, Bell couldn't say what strategic interest, if any, the United States had in Hungary.
Did you see? No. John McCain was the one that asked her that question.
Yeah.
And you know, he just had that look on his face like, oh, my God, girl, you are so stupid.
Yeah.
And she just rattled on about how she didn't need to know that right now. That was not the question she was supposed to ask. He was supposed to ask her, and he just shook his head.
I guess he didn't get the latest copy of the script.
Right. In Japan, the biggest insult's going to be that they're all going to have to pronounce the name
Carolyn. Come on.
Carolyn.
Carolyn.
And then there's this, and some of you may have heard about this one because it happened recently and it's been on the news media today. In the GAF department, U.S. Assistant Secretary of State Victoria Nuland. Have you guys heard about this?
Yes.
She was quoted, and this was evidently somebody was spying and released it, and they think the Russians did this, and she was telling that our ambassador to the U.N., they were talking about the European Union, and she basically said, well, I can't say what she said, but she said the F-bomb, the EU. She said F the
F
EU.
F the EU, yes. Uh-huh.
Of
and
course,
they all heard it.
They all heard it. None of them liked it, not one bit. This is Obama's idea of smart diplomacy. Once again, folks, when these people try to tell you they are smart, laugh in their face. They are the biggest bunch of buffoons to ever come down the pike.
They are just making sure that hatred for the U.S. is spread equally around the entire world.
Speaking of equally, I got this from our friend Marshall during one of the breaks. He said, the Romans believed in equality. The rich were all equally rich, and the poor were all equally poor.
Well, to this administration,
and that's where we're headed real fast.
Well, and to this administration, Chris, it's foreign policy basically means papier-mâché to them. I mean, it just there isn't any policy.
I know. We make light
of it. All policy is foreign to them.
We have to make light of it and laugh at it. Otherwise, we'd be bawling our eyes out.
Can't do anything about it, at least not for another 2 years.
Oh, yes, we can. We can talk about it.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what we're
going to
do right here on the American Adversaries. And once again,
work on taking the Senate away from this guy.
That's right. Okay, folks, that's going to do it for tonight. We want to thank you so very much for being with us and thank all you guys here in the studio and Jeff. You know, we just surpassed 500 episodes or editions of our Drive Time show. We're closing in on 200 on our Sunday night show. Couldn't be more proud to do it with a greater bunch of guys. And we have the greatest audience in all talk radio.
Absolutely. But I will leave you folks with fair warning. We will be back tomorrow night at 5 o'clock for Drive Time and for the next days after that. Have a wonderful what's left of the weekend and start this week off right. My list of American Adversaries, of course. We'll see you.
Warn your friends. Night, everybody.
AM 660, The Answer, WORL, Altamont Springs, Orlando. A service of Salem Communications. Intelligent, conservative. AM 660.